Southwestern College Education faculty member Linda Rohn is behind the project called Lessening Bullying Through Cultural Competence and Transformative Teaching and Learning. Dr. Rohn, for the bulk of this project, you were at Newman University.
Yes, Carla. This started out as a partnership between Newman University and USD 259.
And how did this project come about?
This project is an extension of my doctoral dissertation, which is titled School Bullying, a Freirean Perspective. And it centralizes the ideas of the late Brazilian educator Paulo Freire.
So what really impressed you about his work?
As I was moving along as an educator, I could see that teaching in schools can become very robotic. Schools, many have compared to factory-like, very hierarchical-type systems, where they work from the top down. Paulo Freire had a whole different way of seeing education from the bottom up. He didn't believe that students came to school and they were blank slates, came with nothing to share, and only ready to receive the deposits from their teachers. Quite frankly, he believed that they came to school filled with knowledge and ready to teach teachers about them, but teachers had to be willing to listen.
Now, why did you decide to focus on the role that teachers may possibly play in bullying?
I wanted to take a look at this because so far, most anti-bullying programs around the country focus on direct hitting, kicking, spitting, pushing, or indirect cyberbullying, verbal abuse, gossiping forms of bullying. And those forms of bullying tend to just discuss children and how they perpetuate those. And those are things that should be focused on. However, what is not a part of national, state, and local conversations is how structural and cultural bullying could easily perpetuate direct and indirect bullying. For example, structural bullying is based on a sense of authority. And so what can help to lessen structural bullying is when we transform the way that parents and teachers and students interact with one another. When parents and teachers partner, and students can also become a part of that partnership, it changes the culture of schools.
Well, tell us about cultural bullying.
Cultural bullying is maintained through a lack of cultural competence. And it takes place when a teacher singles out a student because of his or her differences, whether it be race, social class, or language. Even though recent data tells us that 84% of our teachers in United States classrooms are white, middle class, and female. Yet most of their students are black, brown, and linguistically diverse and or impoverished. We are still not having a conversation about the kind of cultural clashes that are taking place in our classrooms. We agreed that a bullying teacher can be described as one who uses his or her power to punish or manipulate a student beyond what is reasonable disciplinary procedure.
For example?
In essence, sometimes students break the rules and teachers are unable to correct them, no matter how many different strategies they have. Sometimes students just disengage in the learning process. They won't speak when the teacher speaks to them. They talk out when they get ready. Other times they just show apathy. And they don't even show concern when they receive bad marks. Oftentimes, when teachers don't know anything else to do in these settings, they resort to control strategies. And in those instances, they can become the biggest bullies in school.
So did the teachers say they were surprised once they completed this study?
Yes, they did. They realized that this bullying was far more than just direct and indirect, far more than one child pushing another down on the playground. Or one child getting out on the internet and putting a bunch of nasty things about another one on the internet. There are also structural and cultural forms of bullying, and that they themselves could be perpetuators of those two forms of bullying.
Could you just share an example of what teachers discovered during the study?
One teacher told me that when we read Pedagogy of the Oppressed, I was a bit intimidated by the material initially, but later I realized, oh my goodness, this is me. I am using a banking system. I see my students as people who are coming to the classroom with no knowledge and who are waiting for me to deposit knowledge in their heads, whereas I should be seeing them as people who come with knowledge, who can teach me something about themselves.
So what's the next step with this project?
Once our teachers came away from this project, better equipped to transform their classroom spaces so that all students would have voice, then we felt quite confident that we could empower our students even better if they were experiencing this same thing at home. So the next step will definitely include parent circles, where parents will begin to examine how they're parenting their children. Are they using very top-down, hierarchical ways that are silencing the voices of their children instead of encouraging their children on ways to use their voices?
Dr. Linda Rohn is part of the teaching faculty in the education division at Southwestern College in Winfield. Thank you so much, Dr. Rohn, for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Carla.